What do you do with table scraps? What do you do with table scraps? It's a serious question these days. Think about those fruit peelings, the half-eaten broccoli, the dropped macaroni, the cut-off bread crusts. All of it goes straight into the food bin. Wasted. Well, I'm certainly guilty of that. Did you know that the UK produces the highest amount of food waste in Europe? The UK throws away around 9.5 million tons of food waste in a single year, even though 8.4 million people in the UK are in food poverty. I wonder, do you know the top three types of food that are thrown away? Anybody like to guess? Bread, that's number two. Potatoes, yes, number one. Potatoes. Yeah. 395,000 tons of potatoes a year are thrown away. Half of them are untouched. You know, you leave them and they go green or they go wrinkly. I'll throw them away. I never got around to using them. What do you think is number three? So potatoes is number one. Bread is number two. Number three?
Cheese?
No. It's a fruit.
Apples.
Apples. Thrown away, yeah. We have this dilemma of seeming abundance. There must be abundance because we can throw so much of it away. But there are so many in our communities who are experiencing food scarcity. And no one seems to agree how to fix the problem. Recently they've said, well, we're going to stop putting best before dates on food. Use your common sense. I've got a little app on my phone. Perhaps some of you have it. It's called Too Good To Go, which is a great name. What happens is that I'm in Enfield Town. So some of the bakeries and restaurants in Enfield Town, what they'll do is at a certain time of the day, so it could be a bakery, about 5 o'clock, they'll put it on the app that you can go in and get a mystery bag. Yeah. So you pay like £3, £3.50, and you get a big bag full of food, which otherwise would have been thrown away. So everybody benefits. But I know there are a lot of food outlets in Enfield Town. There's a lot in Southgate. And if only 4 or 5 of them are disposing of their food that would otherwise be thrown away in that way, think of all the others that are not. All of that food that's just taken off counters, put in the bin at the end of the day. So, problem with what do we do with the leftover food? And food, even the most meagre scraps and crumbs, well, it's a divisive topic. It's a political topic. And from the story that we just heard, we realise the same could be said in Jesus' time as well. Jesus is walking into the territory of Tyre and Sidon. That's up in the north. He's going into an area filled with Gentiles, people who aren't like him, who have a different history from him, who don't worship like him, who don't eat like him. And he's just had a debate about eating and diet and cleanliness. And I can imagine that after all of that, he just wanted to be left alone, to get to wherever he was going and to turn in for the night. Yet a woman called out to him, a Canaanite woman. Now already the disciples are wary. A Canaanite? Those people? We don't associate with Canaanites. They're bad. They've always been bad. They're unclean. They don't worship our God. What could this woman possibly want? And yet there she is in the middle of the street, wailing desperately, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David, help me. My daughter is not well. She's tormented by a demon." And yet Jesus doesn't say anything. He just keeps going, head down, power through. He just leaves it alone. But there she is, still crying out, still creating a scene. Get lost, lady, one of the disciples might have said. Get her out of here. Send her away. She keeps shouting after us. So Jesus pauses, and he turns back to the woman. Now, this is where we would expect Jesus, of all people, to understand where this woman is coming from. We'd anticipate this scene to play out like a cut and dry miracle story. Woman cries out, disciples scoff, Jesus heals, and we all learn a valuable lesson. But it doesn't go like that. In fact, Jesus comes off as being a little callous. Mom, he says, I'm here to feed the children of Israel, not the Canaanites, not you. It's not fair to take the children's bread and feed it to the dogs now, is it? What exactly is Jesus saying? Christians have been debating this for centuries. Maybe Jesus was just grumpy. Maybe he was testing the woman. Maybe the human side of him was mistaken. We could tie ourselves in theological knots trying to find the true answer. But maybe we should hear this encounter as a parable playing out within the larger story that Matthew is telling. Perhaps we should think of it as something like a riddle with multiple answers. You see, what matters most in this story is not the initial rejection, but the action that follows. I shouldn't throw the food to the dogs, Jesus says. Yes, Lord, replies the woman, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Even we Canaanites are entitled to the scraps, don't you think? Can you imagine the looks on the disciples' faces when they heard that? Their jaws drop, their eyes are wide open. What did she just say to him? Did she just talk back to our Lord? It was a brave act on her part. Those bold and jarring words, an action that rattled everyone's assumptions. Now, we can't read Jesus' mind in this story. And we'll probably never know why he acted the way he did and said the things he said. But we do know that he was moved by what the Canaanite woman said. He was moved by her passion, he was moved by her persistence and her faith. Jesus grants her the mercy that she sought. He heals her daughter and restores their family. The experience of the Canaanite woman shows us that faith is not always simple or straightforward. Speaking up for ourselves and others, calling out unfairness, challenging the status quo. These aren't signs of weak faith or a lack of belief. No, Jesus pronounces this type of persistence as great faith. Great faith indeed. The Canaanite woman comes in and a long line of scrappy biblical figures who simply do not take no for an answer, who engage in what the Bible commentator Leander Keck calls a worshipful struggle, all the way back to Jacob, who wrestled an angel in the book of Genesis. I wonder, where is the Canaanite woman today? Who is she? Where is the Canaanite woman today? Perhaps she's one of the 1 in 7 Britons who face hunger because they don't have enough money for an adequate diet for themselves or their family. Or maybe she's one of the millions who face daily violence and abuse. Or perhaps the countless many who live with addiction or mental illness. Or one of those who are pushed aside or ostracized because they come from a different race, a different country, with a different religion? And how many times in our lives have we, like the disciples, trying to ignore these rather inconvenient problems? Oh, I don't have time for this today. I've already given my money to the church for this week. Well, she's just going to waste it. How often do we sidestep someone who is crying out to us for help? And you know, we sometimes get a little defensive or even offended when someone else points out an injustice to us. Or perhaps you've been on the other side too. Have you ever reached out to others, perhaps even good church-going Christians, only to be hushed up, shooed away, or dismissed with a callous comment? Why aren't people listening to me, you might say? I feel like I'm invisible. We live in a world that is hungry, and not just physical hunger, but spiritual hunger too. People all around us long to be fed by things that have meaning and substance. We long to be part of something bigger, to be given direction, to be loved. And some of us are so desperate that we cry out in the street, "Have mercy on me. Just a crumb, just a scrap will suffice." Part of our Christian journey, our calling as disciples of Jesus, is to listen for those people calling out in pain or hunger or torment, to be attuned to their needs, to meet them where they are, to let them speak to us on their own terms. And sometimes they may seem as strange and foreign as that Canaanite woman. What she has to say to us today may sound as jarring as her words to Jesus. They may even shake our worldview and challenge our assumptions. And if you, hearing today, are the Canaanite woman, if you're the one crying out in the streets to seemingly no avail, don't be afraid. Take heart. Don't apologize for your persistence. God hears you, and even in times of struggle and doubt, God proclaims your faith to be great. It's no coincidence that after this encounter with the Canaanite woman, the next thing that Jesus does in Matthew's Gospel is to go down to the sea and meet with a crowd of 4,000 hungry people. And he will feed all 4,000 of them from just 7 loaves of bread and 7 fish. You see, God has this amazing ability to bring about change in the most astonishing ways, through the most unexpected people. God's work in our lives is always surprising us, always jarring us, always shaking up our worldview. God makes abundance out of scarcity. God is constantly taking the scraps from our table, the crumbs which we discard, and turning them into a feast to which all are invited. So I'm grateful for the Canaanite woman, that unnamed saint, because through her perseverance, through her outspokenness, we catch a glimpse of God's vision for the world. It's a world where grace comes to us in the most unexpected ways, where the smallest speak with the loudest voices, and the powerful act with humility. It's a world where soup kitchens become lavish banquet halls, where sick beds languish unused, and graveyards lie empty. It's a world where all of us, each and every one of us, have life. Life that cannot be taken away from us. Eternal life. Like the Canaanite woman, we too hold tightly to the promise of the Lord, the Son of David. Brothers and sisters, he says to us today, great is your faith. What you want will be done for you. God's mercy and love are for all people, for those of little faith and those of great faith, for those who are hungry and those who are full, for for the disciples and the Canaanite woman, for me and for you. So what do we do with the scraps, those crumbs collecting on our table? Well, for starters, we can use them to nourish a hungry world. Amen.